performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's Gift Shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show that celebrates all things creating and stories. We've got a great one for you today. I'm going to talk a little bit about clothing first. There are two pieces of clothing from my days working in retail and in the corporate world that have stories that stand out in my memories. One was pantyhose. Do you remember those pantyhose days? There was a time when I wore pantyhose to work, and I hated pantyhose. The snug fit, the trapping of the heat, the waistband, the inevitable runs. I don't know who loved them, not me. And there was a time when I finally said, enough, I'm not wearing these ridiculous things to work ever again. And I didn't care if that was the expectation. I would bare my legs or wear pants and socks all the time. And from that day on, I never wore pantyhose again. And that felt like freedom. That was fabulous. And the other piece of clothing that stands out is the day I wore a tie to work. Now, I usually wore blazers and skirts and dresses, but one day I spotted this super cool tie while shopping. It was Winnie the Pooh, and I worked at a bookstore. It was perfect, and I thought this would be a fantastic addition to my wardrobe. I wore the tie, and you would not believe the comments I got from my coworkers. Why are you wearing a tie? What's with the suit? I don't get why you're wearing a tie. It was an adorable tie. If it had been a scarf with Winnie the Pooh, no one would have said a thing. I found it so odd that nobody commented on Winnie the Pooh. That was the whole point. He had a little honeypot and his dipping his fingers in. It was adorable. But anyway, they had to point it out. And I thought that's such a weird thing. And as I was thinking about our topic for today, it's like, what is it about clothes? What do we see in the clothes of others when we meet another human being? Why is it that we make a judgment? And what makes a piece of clothing have power? So as I was watching this movie, this is from the early 2000s, and I just loved the way that the clothes told part of the story. This was a character that adored fashion, see if you can guess, and style, and she had so much fun with her clothes. She rocked the pink, layered colors and patterns and textures in a way that was all her own. She exuded confidence and expressed her personality as only she could through her outfit choices. Through everything in life, she rocked the wardrobe that showed the world who she was, and she never seemed to doubt herself, and that was what I loved about this movie. Of course, I'm talking about Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, and about two-thirds of the way through the movie, Elle is ready to throw in the towel on her legal career and education after she experiences another misjudgment about her legal skills, smarts, and talents. Here's a line from the movie that caught my attention. So the picture, Elle is storming out of the office and tells a coworker that she's done. No more boring suits, pantyhose. No more trying to be somebody. I'm just not. And their coworker, Emmett, responds, what if you're just trying to be someone you are? And I thought, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. So yay to Emmett. And what if we're all just trying to be someone we are? And this leads us back to the story of Elle and Legally Blonde. And I cannot wait to share this journey with you. Today on Art Zany Radio, we have the folks from Purple Door Youth Theater. Leading us off is Rachel Hyder, the director. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Of course, it's a thrill to have you back. And you brought in some fabulous guests, so let's get some introductions. Which side do we want to start? Who wants to go for? Oh, they're pointing you, so yeah, you get to go. Tell us a little bit about yourself. This is Legally Blonde Junior, the musical at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. It opens on Friday the 21st, and tickets are available now. We'll get more details in just a minute, but let's meet the students. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your world, your school, and your connection to Purple Door Youth Theater.
Yeah, my name's Violet Fraley, and I do dance, I do choir, This is my fourth Purple Door show. Wow. I really love it. It's very fun.
So. For people that don't know what Purple Door is, what would you say? Why do you keep coming back to sign up?
It's really, the shows are really good. It's mm-hmm. really fun. All the people in it are all super nice and just, and I just love theater and it's really fun.
It's an incredible thing we have in this community. So I'm so delighted you're here. I think this is your first appearance on Art Zany Radio. Mm-hmm. So welcome.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you. Let's keep going.
I'm Addison Enfield. I'm a dedicated technician in Legally Blonde Jr. I enjoy art and running. This is actually my first Purple Door Youth Theater program that I've ever done. So it's been a really fun new experience for me.
What prompted you to sign up to do this?
I am not in a winter sport, so I just wanted something to, like, do, and I really like art a lot, too, so I thought, like, oh, a tech role would kind of be fun, like, building stuff and painting and costuming and all stuff like that.
Yeah, we're going to get into what you've created for this particular stage production, which sounds pretty phenomenal, so wonderful to see you. Thank you for being here. I think it's your first appearance, too.
Yeah,
So is. I'm excited that you're here.
Thank you.
So great to connect with you. And let's hear about your story.
Hi, I'm Eleanor Grohl. I like singing a lot and running also. This is my third Purple Door Youth Theater show.
And you've done how many? Which parts have you done?
I was in Matilda and then Newsies and now Legally Blonde.
Some big shows.
Yes, all musicals, my favorite.
that's one of the things that they tend to do. And so this is, we'll talk about your role. I bet people will recognize what you're up to, so I can't wait to hear more. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Yes.
And then we'll hear from our last guest.
I'm Avery Parker. I am a senior at the Northfield High School, and I am really interested in choir and theater, and I don't even know what number Purple Door show this was. but my first Purple Door show was Les Mis when I was in fifth grade, so it's been...
That's a lot of years of Purple Door. What do you love? And what, you know, for people who are like, what is this experience? And why would you, you know, commit so much time to putting together a production?
I love, I guess, the nurturing and educational experience that kind of comes with it, because every single day it's learning something new, I guess, about being on stage or even being exposed, even as a cast member, to the things that go on backstage, I think is really fun as well.
And now you're in the position where you're a senior and it goes as young as, I think, second grade. Am I right about that?
Depending on the show.
And the show, okay. So, but there's still some very young kids in the experience, and so I bet they look up to you. And how does that feel to be kind of in a mentoring role?
Yeah, I mean, in fifth grade, the people that I looked up to the most were the seniors in high school, and being a senior now, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's me. It's me now, and it feels so crazy. It feels so crazy, but it's awesome, and I'm so glad that I can help younger people also find their passion for theater. So that's awesome.
That is a great part of the experience, and I think that it's a phenomenal thing that we have here. Rachel, how many students are in this production of Legally Blonde Jr., the musical?
We have 27 in the cast and another 11 as far as our dedicated technicians. We have had up to 42 total, which gets... a little crowded in the green room.
I think 48 seems pretty close to that max.
Speaking about the ages, so when we do a production like The Wizard of Oz, for example, we definitely went all the way down to second grade, which is super, super exciting. But this particular show had a little older material, so... Mm-hmm. So we started with sixth grade for this one.
That seems about right, yes. And because we'll get to the love story, too, which is part of it, since it is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone out there listening. I wondered if the movie had, if that was something Legally Blonde, was starring Reese Witherspoon, that you had connected with prior to coming to this experience, or maybe you weren't supposed to watch the movie before you did the show. What, anyone have any connections or, you know, inspirations from that? Is it something you loved before you tried out? No. Oh my gosh. No. Go ahead. That's okay. Tell us.
I love Legally Blonde. I mean, I love chick flicks. 2000s. It's just iconic. So I definitely seen the movie a lot. And then prior to my audition, I was watching it probably more than I should have. Spent a lot of time watching Legally Blonde.
So, oh, good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, because it kind of, you know, her character is so classic, and I do think she had a, I mean, she hit on something that helped us to sort of see what was happening, and like she was so powerful and independent and smart and blonde, and you know, like it was such a moment that she captured. Were you going to add something?
The first time I saw it was probably when I was in like fifth grade, and I thought, you know, I thought it was like a really good movie, and then I like found out we were doing this for the show, and I was like, oh, that's like super cool. So then I like started listening to the music, and I was like, wait, this is really good. Like, this would be super fun to be in.
That's a good point, right? Because this is a musical, and the show had, the movie had music, but it wasn't a musical at all, which is what this is. And so let's go ahead. I've got some music to play. Speaking of, should we jump in and give everybody a little introduction to I'm going to turn this down so we don't end up with a commercial. So I'm going to start it and see what happens here. Perfect. We got it. So we aren't going to have that. Is there anything you want to say, anybody, about the song that we've picked? Is What You Want from the musical production? Is it speak for itself? Should we just jump in? I think we'll just jump in. Okay. So let me make sure I've got everything turned on, and we'll go ahead and listen to, this is from the Broadway production. So this is the cast, and get your ears ready. This flies by. So get ready. Here we go. This is What You Want from Legally Blonde, the musical.
And a girl Warner wants. Someone serious. Someone lawyerly. Someone who wears black when nobody's dead. Girls, I have a completely brilliant plan. What you want, Warner, what you want is me. But you need to see me in a brand new domain. Well, it's plain, Warner, in a different setting. You will see you're getting all of this plus a brain. I'll meet you there at Harvard with a book in my hand. Big sturdy book, big wordy book, full of words I'll understand and write. There is where you'll see it too. Warner, what you want is right in front of you.
What you want
is clear.
What you want
right here.
What you want is right in front of you. Front of you. What you want
is clear.
What you want
right here.
What you want is right in front of you. Front of you.
Step one, he's off to Harvard Law, so I get in there too.
Step two,
make Warner reassess, impress him with my high IQ.
Step three,
we throw a great big wedding
and invite all Delta Nu.
That's great. Nice plan. Now, can we think this through? Harvard Law School? I have a 4.0 average. Yeah, in fashion merchandising. What makes you think you can do this?
Love, I'm doing this for love, and love will see me through. Yes, with love on my side, I can't lose, and Harvard can't refuse a love so pure and true.
Even if they do, what you want, sweetheart, is no easy thing. If you're going to swing it, it will wreck your senior spring. Yeah, it's true. First, you'll need an LSAT score of more than 174, so no more parties for you. You'll need a killer essay or do not even hope, and glowing letters from your betters. Any chance you know the Pope? Ooh, no. Too bad, because that would be a coup, and you've got a lot of work in front of you.
What you want?
God, why? Law school is for boring, ugly, serious people. And you, Button, are none of those things. What you want, Button, hey, you just say the word. But what you want's absurd and costs a whole lot of swag. And hell, why, Button, when you can stay right here, pursue a film career.
How about a nice Birkin bag?
Yes, the East Coast is foreign. There's no film studios. It's cold and dark, no valet parking. All the girls have different noses. Christ, Button, it's like the damn frontier.
Tell me what's out there that you can get right here.
Guys, love, I'm going there for love. A love I have to win. I can live without son or valet. I can't just walk away, betray what might have been.
Fine, okay, I'll pay your way if you get
what you want. Take the pay, what you want, and it's paid.
All right. That is an incredible. My gosh, did you see how fast that went? That is going to be so much fun when that comes to the stage. That was, in fact, Annalee Ashford and the cast from the Broadway production of the Legally Blonde, the musical, and the production that's happening at the Northfield Arts Guild is Legally Blonde Junior, the musical, and that is opening up. I got to get those dates. February 21st, and it runs through March 3rd. It's Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30. Saturday, March 1st, and that's so there's two Saturday matinees, mm-hmm. which is really exciting because I think those matinees are it's a Saturday, March 1st matinee, and then Sundays at 2 p.m. So there's
two shows on Saturday.
Okay, I'm going to get you to tell me, to clarify for me, because okay. I just completely goofed that up.
So our first weekend is 1 week from today. It's Friday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then the following weekend we have Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. So we actually end March 2nd.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying.
Absolutely.
That was my own stumble there. But that's fun because I think matinees are nice for grandmas and grandpas who might want to come.
Yes.
And all of us who, you know, maybe.
Our first Sunday matinee is already sold out, as is opening night. So get your tickets now.
That is something I've learned about Purple Door Youth Theater. Don't wait on those tickets. They go. They will sell out. And those are available online, northfieldartsguild.org, or you can stop by the Arts Guild shop on Division Street, or give them a call, 507-645-8877. And they've even got a QR code on the posters if you happen to spot one of those around town. So there's lots of ways to get your tickets. As we heard, it's about the fabulous character of Elle off to Harvard Law School. Nobody expected her to do that. She was the queen of the sorority world. And let's go ahead.
Well, I was just going to comment about that song. So What You Want is just a delightful song on stage. We have wonderful choreographers that we work with, Jana Hirsch, Jordan Tesh.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
Noah Schomburg even came in and stepped
Yay!
In and did a number for us. But that song really, it's not the first song in the show, but it does really start to set up the plot. So at the beginning of it, she talks about the love that she is in right now, the relationship that she's in right now, which is with Warner. And she finds out throughout the story that maybe that's not the best kind of love. It's a little more romantic, perhaps, but it's shallow. And then this other wonderful human being comes into her life, Emmett, and he is about a caring love and a deep love. And so that What You Want is really a great catalyst for the whole story. But I'll let the kids talk
about
it.
This is a good jumping off point. Let's start over here with Avery. Avery, you play that other love interest, Emmett. And so tell us a little about the character as you see it in this production and kind of how you've connected and what you've done to develop the character for the stage production.
Yeah, so Emmett is Callahan, the professor's teacher's assistant. So he's in the classroom setting, and he sort of becomes Elle's tutor, and then eventually a friend, and then kind of a love interest. So that's really fun. I don't know. I mean, like Rachel was saying, I think he does care deeply for Elle, and it is a deeper love than just that surface level. But I think throughout the story, it's kind of a what's the greater love, Elle or his law career? And I think that's a really interesting part of that too.
And that's for both of them because they,
yes.
you know, they
mm-hmm.
both want to have a law career, which is a real
yes.
big commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And in the character of Emmett really does, I think, is one of the people that believes in her and kind of sees that her strategy might be really different than everybody. Is that come through in the musical as well, of seeing Elle as somebody who's, you know, intelligent and, you know, the things that she brings to the table are valuable?
Yes, I think so. I think even maybe early on, he sees that she definitely has more potential than she's been showing. Because of her desire to still be with Warner. But
mm-hmm.
he's kind of like, you have more here. You can you can do your own thing and it'll be okay. So, I think it's awesome that he's encouraging for that as well.
Right. That's a good counterpoint. It makes for a good storyline. Mm-hmm. So, and let's hear about how you've invented Al, which is, you know, the character that everybody will recognize. And that's a huge undertaking. Tell me what your approach has been.
I think Elle's smart from the beginning, mm-hmm. but she's just sort of blindsided by Warner. And I think they are in love, but it's not the sort of love that's going to last. Like, a lyric that sort of sits with me is one of the girls is like, "You belong together because you both have great taste in clothes." And that just, like, sort of shows it's not a very deep love. Like, it makes sense, sorority girl, frat boy. And then she meets Emmett, who, sees potential in her and is... actually cares about her, not just as like a pretty blonde, and wants to help her like learn and grow in her law career. And that's really different from Warner.
And there's something our radio listeners probably won't know, is that you have very dark hair.
I do.
So is there, I don't know if you can give it away or not, how do you play that in the are you going to be doing that for the production? What have you decided to do?
I have a wig.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was wondering. That has to be an interesting experience, to be dancing and singing and trying to keep something on. It looks like it's not, you know, fly off.
It's actually been kind of fun. I did like the full run through with it a couple of days ago, and it's definitely different. Every single time I see myself in the mirror, it's a little scary. But other than that, it's good.
Shocking. And so how have you come to understand the character of Al, and anything that you're using to try to relate to her experience of, like, being underestimated and, like, not acknowledged for what she's capable of, even though she comes from a world that people kind of paint as, you know, simplistic or, you know, artificial or superficial? That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah, I think she's just really naive is the thing. Like, it's not that she's stupid or that, I mean, she's definitely born into privilege. She just doesn't really know what it's like to have to work for things. And I think it's, like, good to see her develop from that, like, getting away from the, like, naivety. I don't think she's ignorant, more just, like, getting thrown into a world she doesn't know. And sort of, like, her goal switches throughout, like, going there for love to going there to, like, become a good lawyer.
Right.
It's a huge part of it.
Yeah. And are there any color schemes that she has in her wardrobe?
Definitely a lot of pink. See a lot of pink.
Okay. That's going to be so much fun.
Yes, it's really fun.
I'm so excited to see how that's done. And part of that is done by having backstage folks, put together the look of the show, and actually start with an empty stage. So Addison, tell us a little bit about how you learned about making the show come to life.
Yeah, so the set is very large. I think it's probably one of the largest sets that Purple Door has had, is what I'm hearing from Kate, our tech director.
Okay.
And with lighting too, we're also playing around with that. There's a lot of like pink tones that go over the lights that we were playing with yesterday. So it's kind of like, it's not super noticeable, but it's definitely like tinted pink.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Part of the set is also painted pink. So that's kind of interesting as well.
Yeah. 'Cause you had to do multiple settings, right? So, there's obviously the courtroom, mm-hmm. and the classroom, mm-hmm. and what are we missing? The dorm room. I don't know if that there's anything in your production.
There's
with that.
The hair affair salon she ends up at. And then also a restaurant sort of scene. So that'll be kind of interesting how we kind of set the stage up for that. But I think the set is super versatile, even though it takes up a lot of the space on stage. There's two stairways that go up onto a higher platform, a door kind of coming out. So mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of exiting and entering the stage from different places, which is kind of good, I think, for the viewer to be able to, like, move their eye along stage kind of in that way.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you were interested in art. So how have what you learned through your art classes taught you about making this come to life on stage?
Yeah, I think one of the main tasks that I had, just coming from an artist standpoint and being in art all 4 years of high school, I was tasked to, like, make the hair affair logo for the salon.
Ah.
So I kind of put that together, and I got the okay from Rachel. She, like, picked out some of my ideas, and the colors and stuff matched with some of the props that we had. And then I ended up painting that onto a counter. And then I actually had to like raise the counter up a little bit with wood. So I figured out how to do that yesterday, actually. So now it's a bit taller.
So it's not only the graphic, the design elements of it, but, you know, the actual physical construction.
Yeah. I've learned a lot, actually, about, I took some like woodworking classes in like 7th and 8th grade, which is a really long time ago. But Kate is really, really good about making sure to like teach us and like make sure that we know what we're doing also before we just like go and dive into a task, because there's a lot of equipment that can obviously injure people. But Kate is really good at explaining how to do things and like the process of building the whole thing and why we want to go in this order, and just very like thought out and thorough about it.
Yeah. And this is Kate Stewart. Is that right? No.
Well, we have Kate Stewart is our costumer.
Okay.
And Cade, K-A-D-E. I know it's a little confusing. Cade Middledorp is our technical director.
Fabulous.
And then Kat Middledorp is our music director.
What a crew.
Yes, we have a lot of K's.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And I think what's so exciting is that you can, I can see that you can take those skills that you learned. You could do this, you know, anywhere you go, right? You can add this to anything you want to experience. It's something, it's a lifelong thing. You can be involved with theater.
Yeah, I actually, just after being in the show, I'm going to Gustavus Adolphus College for college. And I'm thinking about like kind of entering myself into those programs a little bit, just on the tech side of things, just because I like thought it was super interesting.
I'm delighted to hear. I have to talk to you. I have a friend whose son is there, so it'll be fun. Well, that's fabulous. I think that's what theater is. It's something that you can do for, you know, into your 90s, even if you want to. Yeah. So it's a great experience. And for tell us a little bit about your role, Violet. You've got multiple things happening.
Yeah.
So
so my first role I have is a character named Kiki, who is one of the hairdressers in the salon, Paulette's The Hair Affair. And that role is, it's like, she's very, like, confident and very expressive. And it's, she has a big part in the bend and snap. And yeah, that part is, it's really fun.
If folks know that from the movie, they will know what you're talking about. That's going to that's gonna be quite the production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my other role is Winthrop, so one of the Harvard admissions officers. So I'm the one who like doesn't want at first I'm like, why would we admit her? Like she does like fashion merchandising, like why would she want to go to Harvard Law School? And then she's like, oh, but I want to come here for love. And then I'm like, oh. And then all my and then the other like admissions officers are like, okay, I guess. And then I'm like, okay, I guess you can be admitted.
Yeah, and you know what I kept thinking during that is like, well, of course, if she's going to have a fashion line, she's going to need like legal advice to make sure nobody steals her ideas or she protects her business or she knows how to hire. So like, of course you would need that. It makes perfect sense. But that's one of the things that comes up in the show is all that being underestimated or not really thinking about what's okay for people to pursue.
And one of my favorite scenes is actually very small in the musical, but it's when Elle is helping Paulette save her dog. And it's such a turning point for Elle because she has helped this poor woman get her dog back. And it's just this big, like, light bulb going off in her head, and she sings about it, of course, because it's a musical. And what is your line exactly, Eleanor? It's
like, it's, wait, was that law? Is this the point of law?
Right. Is this the point of law? And she gets just super pumped about going forward with her studies.
You're right, because that's the turning point when she starts to think, wait, this might not be about me getting the guy, it might be about me getting my power. my right. life.
And to help other people.
Yes, right. Which she's always very generous in doing in the movie. Folks, this is Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. We're here on KYMN Radio from Northfield, Minnesota. And today we're talking about Legally Blonde Jr., the musical. Opens up next weekend. It's going to be so much fun. It's exactly what we need right now for these cold winter times. We need to like step away from that, step into a world of, you know, pink and songs and dancing and all kinds of fun stuff. So I can't wait for all of you to be able to come and see this. Tickets are on sale at northfieldartsguild.org, or you can go downtown, give them a call, look at the poster, scan your QR code. At my advice, get your tickets now because it will sell out. I'm 100% certain of that. I think hasn't every Purple Door production sold out? Yes, it has. Wow. Not a lot of productions can say that. That's pretty incredible. We mentioned the dog. So somebody tell us about is there a dog in the show?
Yes. There is a dog. It's Jana Hirsch's dog, Piper, and she's like the perfect size and she's in like a few scenes, right? Like,
too. Yeah. So that's really cute. Oh gosh. Yeah. Fingers crossed the dog learns the marks and the lines. Yep. And so this production, what else are we missing with it? I think one of the things that we talked a little bit about was that how Elle is kind of underestimated, but I think that can be true for some of the other things happening too in the show. Like people underestimate they are quick to judge or quick to make decisions. Even the professors and the admissions people and everybody is, you know, not giving everybody credit. And so how does that come through in a musical? It's you can see it being done in a comedy or drama, but it's a little harder with a musical. What are you learning about putting it all together in a musical? I'll start with you, Avery. No, I just asked a hard question. But because I think it's a different, because the musical, you know, has so much energy and people are dancing, but there's really something underneath that you want to bring to light and let people, you know, learn a little bit about the deeper meaning.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of, even in like the upbeat songs, I think there are some just like little snippets here and there of like, this is kind of how it actually is underneath all of like the bright lights and the costumes and the colors and stuff. At least for Emmett, like the underestimating, how he was like underestimated, I guess, in Chip on My Shoulder, he kind of talks about how he's had to work so hard for what he has. And I think that sort of opens up Elle's eyes a little bit to mm-hmm. it. But also even like Paulette, the worker at the hair affair, she has a not so great like ex boyfriend husband.
Yeah, we're not sure.
And then finally, she like stands up to him, and like even just little scenes like that, I think, are so telling about mm-hmm. it too.
Yeah, I think I think that's what makes it so long lasting, that gives it like it has that heart to it, right? Where you can see from each of the characters that there's some, you know, a little battle. They're mm-hmm. trying to get some courage and kind of be seen for who they their potential and living in that.
And like even Warner, who Elle is like trying to go after, even in the beginning, she was like, "Oh, I thought you were gonna like propose to me and not like." But he's like, well, I talked to my parents about it, and they don't want us to, like, be together.
Yeah.
So even I think Warner has his, like, own maybe even familial battles that could be going on there, too, I think, if you look into it a little bit, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and that makes for a good story. And, as we said, this is music and dancing, and all of those things are portrayed. How has it been to try to put it all together, learning these songs, which have, the lines just fly by, and then you're on top of that in your costumes and trying to, you know, make it all happen and not knock over the beautiful stage work that's been done. Tell me some of the things that you're learning about that.
Well, because it's a junior production and a lot of it is about being together, there's a lot of like chorus doubling with the solos, which is really fun and helpful because you have everyone singing together. And then the solos, I think, are all, like, really thoughtful. Like, when Al or Warner or Emmett is singing alone, they're singing alone because they really want to, like, tell the story. So I think those have just been, like, really good to learn and, like, really listen and, like, what face am I making when I'm singing about this? Like, stuff like that.
That's
especially when you're singing.
Point.
It's hard to, like, think about, like, what does my face look like? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing. I never thought about that. Like, you're just still in the character, and you're still getting the emotion through your song. That's hard to learn, and that's incredible. I love that insight that you have. Were you going to jump on with something, Rachel?
I was just going to say that especially in the junior musical, they tend to cut out dialogue and keep more of the songs. And so it is incredibly important that we continue to tell the story through the songs, that we don't just stop and now we have this big flashy number. And of course, all musicals are written that way, that the story is carried through the songs, but these junior musicals sort of amp that up. So we tried to emphasize that with the kids early on, is that every single lyric is incredibly important. And like Eleanor said, the way that you are expressing it on your face, with your body, with the other people around you, all of those things are what is going to help the audience understand the story, which is what it's all about.
Right.
It's all about the story. If we don't get the story across, then we're not doing our job.
And you never know where the audience might be looking. So you know, you could be part of the chorus, but then if the audience is you know, there, they want to see that that's the same moment happening for that character as it is for the person who's singing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's...
Or those other people on stage could be reacting completely differently to the person that's singing because they have a different relationship or whatever. So, yeah, it isn't necessarily all... I mean, we talk about how important the face is. Like, we don't care what your feet are doing as long as your face tells us the story. But that doesn't mean everybody on stage has the same look on their face. It could be completely different depending
right.
on the character.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in there. Just like with how much junior musicals, like Rachel was saying, like how there's just a lot of music and it's super jumpy from scene to scene and like music to music. There's a lot of quick changes, I know. But just like going back to the theme of like being underestimated, I think us as kids and like youth putting on this show really does like exemplify that theme because those in the audience may be like, oh, we're going to see a youth musical, but like it's actually gonna be really good. And Purple Door has always like been like that, I know. But I think that also just like really highlights that theme of being underestimated in a different way than you would see on like Broadway or in the movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a really important point because, and these stories are like, it happened when I was in high school and when I was in college, and these things happen, you know, it hasn't stopped happening. We still underestimate people. We still, you know, give people, put them in boxes, right? Or some, think of them a certain way, and that part of the story comes through. And I think it's it's an inspirational story. I actually walk away when I see this thinking, yes, I want some of that. I think that's probably, I hope the musical does that too.
Absolutely. And not only is there that part of it, that being underestimated, but then it is followed by self-discovery and the building of self-esteem. And those are important messages for kids, but for adults too. There's plenty of adults that are still struggling with those things. At Purple Door, we choose scripts that are powerful mm-hmm. and bring a great message, because that's what theater should be doing, is empowering people. And one of the really neat messages, I think, in Legally Blonde is this realization that, you know, oh, okay, I have been underestimated and now I have a little better self-esteem and I can now move on to better things. I think that is just a really neat thing to keep in the back of our brains all the time.
That's really powerful, what you just said. And that's so important to hear that can happen through all of life's transitions, right? That there's always those moments when you're challenged and you think, I don't know if I can do this. And you got to keep going. Well, I want to hear from everybody. If people are listening saying, well, that sounds really fun. Give me some reason that you think they should go buy their tickets, go sign up, go online and come to this production. What's something that they'll see that you're looking forward to sharing with everybody?
It's just gonna be really fun. Like, it just goes so fast. There's so much movement, so much singing, dancing, and it's just really. I think it's really enjoyable to watch. Like, it's just really fast paced and it's really fun. Yeah.
Good. Anything from the tech side that you want to highlight for people to come? Because I think. Sometimes we don't always notice all the work that we get is a part of the experience, but maybe there's some cool, like you said, you found out a way to make that logo move and, things that you've worked on through the show that you want people to like pay attention to that they might just slide by.
I think one of the main things is like how, I said this earlier, but like how many ways there are to enter and exit the stage, I think is... There's five different exits. Two are up on top of the stairs, even. There's escape stairs behind stage. All the props have been put, a lot of thought have been put into all the props, too. So just, like, noticing all the little things, because there's a lot of just, like, small things that can go unnoticed, but they're there.
Yeah, and I noticed that watching the movie, that I was pausing and stopping and going back. There's one where she has, like, she's on the treadmill and she has a Walkman. And I was like, oh! I remember those. Maybe it was a CD. I don't remember what was in 2000, but just all those little iconic things from that era. Oh, the little phones. Yes, all of those that you're like, takes you back. And so that's a good point that we didn't talk about was the setting. You did keep it in the 2000s,
yes.
Which, I don't know, is that a long time ago or just a flash? I don't know.
I think it feels like a long time ago for the cast just because most of us weren't born.
That's hard to believe, Rachel. Can you like what? And so, what have you learned about the 2000s by putting together all those props?
Yeah, I think I have learned a lot about the costuming. Kate did a really good job at like telling us and like showing us some of the stuff that she has already picked out and like what she's going to do to them. There was a lot of like I know the techs are wearing. Things to kind of like blend in with the show more instead of just like black that you'd see in a lot of shows. Like I'm wearing jeans and a pink long sleeve, and then there's like all the other techs are wearing jeans and then some sort of just like solid color long sleeve. But I think like jeans are really big in style. Mostly like skinny jeans, I think. But I don't know. I think Eleanor can talk a little bit more about her costuming because she definitely has the most costumes in the show.
I would think, that you have to change the most, I would imagine. That's a trick, too. Do they build the costume special so they're, like, quick on-off?
I have one costume in particular that's sort of, like, bulkier because there's something under it that's, like, the dress. That'll be really exciting. So you should come see. and I think it's a lot of pink, which is so much fun. And it's pretty different from what we knew now. I mean, everything feels a little bit more, like, put together. It's a lot less, like, sweat sets and stuff like that.
That
but
is
it's
true.
Also a lot more color. And it's really fun to see everyone in their colorful things, like, light up the stage. Yeah.
I think my favorite scene in the movie is when she finally goes to the store in her bunny costume to buy a computer. And she comes back to class and she's got the Apple... I forget which model it was with the orange outline. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else has these black sort of IBM, official things. And she's got this bright orange. I loved that. That made me smile. And so there's opportunities to, like, she just lights up the stage.
Yeah.
And that's an incredible, and you're right about the colors. There's so many. How about for you, Avery? What are you looking forward to sharing with our listeners and the audience and something that you want them to know about the production?
I mean, I feel like there really is no drought in the storytelling. I think kind of what Violet and Addison said, it is very fast-paced, but you can, like, keep up with it. Like, it's not so zoom-zoom that, oh my goodness, you're left behind. But I don't think there's any sort of drought in the storytelling. I think even though, like, junior productions do take out some lines and, like, maybe a verse of a song here and there, I don't think it took out, like, a good bulk of, like, the Broadway show. I think there's still a lot there. And I was exposed to this, to the movie and the Broadway show this year, and I've already fallen in love with it because of the music, because of the costumes, and, like, even the set and lighting designs, I think, are so, so awesome.
And that's what it takes. It's like all of those things have to come together, which you guys are moving towards Tech Week. And so I'm excited for you to all go through. For anyone that out there listening, that's where, I don't know, do you start with going through it start to end, or do you like break it down? Rachel, what's your theory on Tech Week?
Well, the very first thing we will start with is set changes, because they need to be choreographed as particularly as dances do.
I think, actually, I like watching that as an audience member. Because where are we going next? And they gradually bring things out, and they, you know, turn the tables that spins around, and all of a sudden it becomes a throne. I mean, you're like, all things, magic happens in those moments.
Right. And then from there, it's really just running the show from top to bottom, getting that flow. And then afterwards, we'll stop and fix things that still need a little tweak.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the week that we add the glitter. This is the week where, you know, nobody can hold back anymore. You got to give us your all, because that's, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, and that's one of the things that you mentioned in our notes that we talked about, just that it's possible to be both fun, feminine, and intelligent, right?
Right, absolutely.
And that's what makes it powerful. I'm so excited. We should also talk, because this is the 10th year of Purple Door.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
This was you and Joe Jorgensen 10 years ago. Before that you started dreaming.
Well, that's true.
Because you had to invent how we're going to do this.
Right. So it was several years in the just thinking about it. There was just such a need at that time for more children's theater productions. I did a production of Charlie Brown, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And it, as written, the script had 6 characters. We had 75 kids audition.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, wow, we really have to do something different in this town. We really need more children's theater. And Joe and I agreed that we did not want to do schlock, which is, there is so much schlock out there for kids. And so one of our most important things was to always start with a quality script.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to do that. And the whole tech side of it, too, was also really important to both of us, because it takes a village to put on a production, and every single part is critical.
Yeah, we had early days when my kids were in one production together. I think that's the only thing they've ever done together. And there was the battle between which is more important, tech or on stage. And it was a good thing for them to have to figure out, right? That both matter. You can't have one without the other.
Exactly.
And so this is like learning and teaching. What have the kids taught you over the years?
Oh, humility.
Because you're teaching them all about theater, but I bet you're getting as much out of it.
Oh, I love it every single time. I love it. They just brighten my day so much, and they're so hardworking. Like we really have a very high bar. Like Addison was saying, this, you will feel like you're coming to an adult produced show. But the kids live up to it, and that is just so inspiring.
That's phenomenal. Let's just quick go around. One last lesson you've learned from Purple Door Youth Theater that you want to share with our listeners. Violet?
Yeah. There's just so many, like, things that you can do. Like, there's so many different scenes and, like, roles that, there's so many scenes that are, like, different, and it's just, like, for example, like, my two characters, they're completely opposite. And so it's,
So even within one show, you get to do a broad range.
So many different things. And you can just,
That's phenomenal. Thank you.
I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is just like to pay attention to all the little things around you. Just like learning what goes on behind the scenes from a tech standpoint. And also like the costume changes and like you don't notice actually how fast things go, but there's a lot of little things in this show that like really are powerful, mm-hmm. I think.
And you got to practice that and get all of those details.
Yes, so. For sure.
that's a big deal.
I think for me, it's just learning how to work with so many different types of people to come together to have one amazing like output. Like I was 10 in Matilda and now I'm 15, like totally different stages of my life. And I'm learning how to work with older people and younger people. And it's just really fun to like all come together with people that you probably wouldn't have met otherwise.
That's true.
Really beautiful. Yeah.
I think that carries back to school probably because then mm-hmm. you see each other or out in the community and that makes a big difference.
Yes.
That's a powerful thing. How about for you, Avery?
For me at least, I think there's always just something to be learned in the experience that you have, like whether or not it's a new approach to musical theater style singing mm-hmm. or like how to do the polka or like or like something like that.
You would never put yourself through it on your own.
I've never done like a tech role before, but even just going up to see what a light board looks like mm-hmm. and just having somebody like expose you to it or just show you it is so awesome. And like even as an actor to see kind of what goes on behind stage is awesome because you're not always like exposed to that thing to that stuff.
And that's what I love about doing Artzany Radio is I get to hear all these inside stories about what's happening and tell people again. Legally Blonde Jr. the musical opens next weekend. Get your tickets. There's shows Fridays and Saturdays for that first weekend, and then a Sunday matinee and the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, two shows on Saturday, and then closing on Sunday for the matinee on March 2nd. So, folks, this is one you're going to want to see, and it's just so incredible. Congratulations on 10 years of Purple Door Youth Theater. I think we've done a show for not everyone, but almost all of them. And I love doing it.
I think it's been all 15. Oh. So we've done 15 shows over 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
And I think you've been very generous with your time, and I appreciate it so much.
I guess I love it. I'm a fan. Folks, I want to thank my guests for being here today, Rachel, Eleanor, Avery, Violet, and Addison. It's such a thrill. I can't wait to see you on the stage. And behind the stage, too, to doing your changes. Folks, this is Artzany Radio for the Imagination. Always remember to enjoy your imagination. And come back next week for another episode of Artzany Radio.
You've been listening to Artzany Radio for the Imagination with your host, Paula Granquist. Artzany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Chocolate covered.